People hear wrong things and want to do the right things. You can never do the right things by hearing the wrong things. It's not possible. You can never do the right thing while you are hearing the wrong thing. What you hear controls what you do. That's why, you know, I'm talking about you. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about me. Because now I've said it to you before. Listen to this. Listen to this. I'm not joking about it. I know what I preach. That is, I know the kind of things I say. No, I'm not kidding. There are times I wish the next Bible study I could sit down and hear what that pastor said last Saturday. I'm telling you the truth. So that's what I mean. So because of that, it's not me talking. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not me. It is the Holy Spirit. And because of the kind of things that flows forth, I want to tell you two things. If you pay attention to what I say, that's me talking, Pastor Banky. Two things will definitely come out of your life. One, you will prosper abundantly. That one for sure. And two, you won't die uselessly, you won't die early. You will live your life out, you will fulfill the counsel of God. Those two things. All other things are around it. Like, will you marry the right man? Yes. The right woman? Of course. You will. Because the word is directing you. That's the point I'm making. Why? You paid attention. Life doesn't come to you because of desire. What comes to you is what you heard and you believed. I said earlier, I'll say it one more time, you can't do what is right if you are hearing what is wrong. Doing is a sign that we are hearing. If they say love your wife as Christ loved the church, and you get home, you are hating your wife as the devil hates the church, you didn't hear. If they say be submissive unto thy own husband, you understand? And you get there, you find out that you are dominating thy own husband. You did not hear. You say, hey, tomorrow I must be submissive. Nah, lie. Normally, it's like when you have finished the act of unsubmission, what is the correct English for that? The insubordination and domination. You will have finished it before you sit and say, yeah, what happened just now? I just insubordinated and dominated my husband. But you go back, take a book, thank God for technology. I told you once, I found out I'd been ill for a while. I didn't know what was going on. I would struggle, confess the word of God, struggle, go to my work. I woke up one morning. I found out that actually it was chicken pox. And I found the lesions broke out all over my body. You know what I did? I still remember very well. I just took one tape. That was the medicine. I settled that. I still remember the message. Supernatural Living Series by Bishop David Oyedepo, tape 2, Stirring Up the Gift. I just sat there. I just sat there and listened to it again. After the message finished playing, after about 1 hour, the thing had entered. Kenneth Hagin said, faith is a concomitant of knowledge. That as the word is entering into you, faith is riding upon it and entering. That's why Paul said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of... You understand my point? It cometh by hearing and hearing. When I finished hearing it, I cursed the thing. It's not the vexation, you know, you don't want to pray. I curse you right now! It's not the noise. Jesus will have whispered, Lazarus, comfort. Lazarus will still have comfort. When he killed the tree, he didn't shout. Do you understand my point? He did not shout. That is, it is what is built up inside that gives power to what you are saying. Not the volume of the voice. After that, I just cursed the thing. That day passed. I woke up next morning. I can't forget that feeling in 50 years. I kind of forgot, you know, the whole thing. I just woke up in the morning, just reflexly, just rubbed my hand on my face. There's something I remember. Yesterday, something was all over the place. I reached for the mirror, looked. Everything had run away. It wasn't, you have faith. No. It was, I took that tip, you understand my point? And reinforced the faith. The word by itself took care of everything. You will not succeed in life because you prayed plenty prayer. No, 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 no. You will succeed in life because the right words entered into you. Actually, this is how to change your life. One of the messages I want to preach there, please make sure you are there, invite somebody. One of the things I want to tell people is that many people, your life will not change until you change what you are hearing. You've made no progress in 8 years. You have been going to the same church for 15 years. Inside that church for 8 years, and they said that only that pastor must you listen to. You should know that church is not good for you. Because in 8 years, you've made no progress. You have been so committed. Meanwhile, every Sunday, guru, guru, you come at 7 because you are a worker. You close at 4. Twice a week, you are there. You pay tithe, you give offering, you do first fruit, second fruit, third fruit. You do everything. You've done it for 15 years. And in the last 8 years, you've been on one spot. Listen, nothing wrong with church. But listen to me, you are not hearing the right thing. You are not. Even if it is here, please shift first. Go and listen to somebody else for maybe 1 year. That is why, I'm not bragging on myself, but it's a matter of fact, those of you who know me well enough, I don't encourage you to listen to me alone. When I get messages by other people, I come and give it to Israel. Hey, hold it. Anybody wants, let them share. Because no matter how much I am accurate in what I say, unless my name is Jesus Christ, I can't feed you all around. It's not possible. You listen to me alone, purely alone, you'll be malnourished in that area. It may just be vitamin K that you lack. So you're going to bleed. You won't know why you're just bleeding. And you say that it's because you only eat Pastor Banky. He has all many nutrients, but he doesn't have vitamin K. So what do you get vitamin K from? Say, okay, there's one man, he talked about Larry Bucket. He will tell you how to ensure your business does not bleed money. He does not know. I didn't put it in his mouth. He doesn't have that unction, doesn't have the anointing. I'm telling you the truth. If you go to any church and they say, listen to only this pastor, it's a bad church. Well, your pastor is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Only him. Actually, I heard one man of God say it too. He said, am I not your pastor? Am I not your apostle? Am I not your prophet? Am I not your teacher? Am I not your evangelist? I said, okay, only you. Listen, if you're a preacher, let me just warn you. This is how to die on time. When only you is everything. Only you to everything. To the whole church. Tell your neighbor, that's bad. In case you are going to that kind of church, don't go away. Oh. I'm not saying you leave the church. Don't leave. Oh. But when the man says, oh, God, I don't agree. You are my pastor and teacher, but my evangelist is in the church down the road. After service, I'm going to buy his book. But as for the apostle, he's not even in Nigeria. He's in Cameroon. My friend is coming next week. He'll bring me the books. If you check the head of my bed, Bishop, you enter my room. If you know the head of the bed, you know all kinds of books there. The idea is that when you do like this, you find evangelist, do like this, you find pastor, do like this, his teacher, do like this, apostle. You find different ones. No, really, I'm telling you the truth. Back to what I was saying. So if you are listening to the same set of messages, the same person, last 15 years, going to the same church, last 8 years, you've made no progress, you are in the wrong place. The man is good, though. Maybe he's good, but, you know, you are malnourished. Uh-huh. You are lacking the vitamin B spiritually. Your vitamin D level is too low spiritually. You lack some trace elements, and maybe you just have spiritual kwashoko, Frank. Frank was shocked like this. Your spiritual belly is big. Now, you need to go and get spiritual protein. There's no church that's the church of God. You know, I keep on saying that. There's none. Some say this is our denomination. God told our founding father that he will meet. This is the church he's coming to meet when it comes to the earth. You know, sometimes when God is speaking in English and your founding father couldn't speak good English, you will hear anything. Anything. You know the things you hear. You just start laughing. You just start laughing. He said, God said that. Which God? He said, Jesus said that one. He said, Jesus said, it's a lie. You tell the person like that, say, get out of my friend. You know sometimes when people say, Catholics say that we are the first church. You know, I can't believe that. If you know, you don't know history, you believe some stories. It's only when you don't know history. One church was together, they split into two. So one claimed that they are the first. The other people thinks they are the first. You know, everybody thinks it's the first. They have the one that split. There have been many splits among the people who don't know. Everybody believes it's the first. The Russian Orthodox think they are the first. The Roman Orthodox think they are the first. Everybody thinks they are the first. Well, I don't care that you are first, second, third. As long as you are Christians and you're part of the body of Christ, when Jesus comes, I'm digressing. Let me get back to my message. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I went through all of that, all right, trying to explain the particular principle. That when we pay attention to the balanced word, that's why I went to do that, all right? You listen to the same thing. No, your life will not change, I want you to say. I said that's what I'm going to talk about. Your life will not change until you change what you are hearing. If life is not moving the direction you like, don't try and move it the other direction by force. Move it by a change of hearing. Go and hear something else. Even if what you are hearing is not bad, you need to add something to it. That's what I was trying to emphasize. It may not be bad, but you need to add something to it. You know, Paul preached. You know, Paul has some of the deepest revelations that any human being ever had. Yet, by the time he finished, if you listen to Paul alone, it will get to a point you will get confused. Yeah. So God now sent James. Paul said, it is faith. Salvation by faith. You believe by faith. You know, and he wasn't wrong. Except that he's a human being. He's not Jesus Christ. No matter how deep the revelation, all right, was, somebody else had to balance it for him. He preached revelation so deep, Peter had to explain that some things are hard to be understood. That is, Peter, that listened to Jesus direct, heard Paul write. He read Paul's writings. And he had to go home to pray. That, dear Lord, did you reveal to this man? Or he smoked before he wrote this one? And the Lord said, I revealed it to him. A man I was reading once said, if you have not yet confused the righteousness by faith, all right, with lawlessness, he said, you have not yet understood the writing of Paul. That when you fully understand what Paul was saying, for a moment, you will think this man is preaching lawlessness. And some people took it and went into lawlessness. So James now came. James said, no. We said it is faith. We agree it is faith. But faith must cooperate with works. He now said, was Abraham not justified by works? Even though Paul said he was justified by faith in Romans chapter 4. James came and said, he was justified by works. But what was he saying? He said his works, cooperating with his faith, made him perfect. After reading the two of them side by side for a long time, I finally got understanding. What was James saying? In effect, no matter how much faith you claim to have, until there's works to show, that faith is not complete. So you keep on working on the faith until it produces works. Somebody told me once that, you know, Martin Luther preached by faith and by faith alone. Can I remember? They said Martin Luther refused to read James. As far as I was concerned, James did not know the Bible. But you see, don't blame him. When he came from a background of by works and works alone, that time the church said if you wanted to be saved, you know what the Pentecostals are doing now? It's not new. The church did it that time now. If you want to be saved, you pay money. For God to forgive your sins, you will punish your flesh. There's a church now in Nigeria, they are preaching a kind of restitution that is destroying people. They can't accept forgiveness, they just want restitution. The evil you committed long ago, you want to undo it, you can't. There are things you did you cannot undo. Leave that one to God. You just believe and go. I'm telling you, you can't do it. You can't undo it. Just believe and go on with your life. Repent. And God, go and correct the problems. You can't go there and be trying to correct the problem. 18 years ago, I was in this school. I cheated on the exam on the last day. Okay, now that you have told us, what should we do now? will not nullify the results in the school for that year because you believe. Come on, get away from here. The Lord is good. I've been having to answer some questions on the restitution matter before I brought to me. All right, you have to be wise. You understand my point? Things you can't undo, don't try and undo them. If you stole my pen, it's still with you. Give me back. I agree. But if you stole my pen 18 years ago, I have bought another one since that time. The one you stole, you have finished it. And I want to buy another one and come and give me back after 18 years. I mean, you'll carry a while ago. You don't believe in forgiveness. That's your problem. There are things you just leave for God. Now, some people came out of that background. You get my point? For that reason, when Martin Luther came out, he said, no, 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 no. By faith and by faith alone. That's why he was so emphatic on it. So that's why he didn't like James saying that there's anything to do with works. He said, no, James, leave this matter. I've been working all my life. Where did I get to? But actually, the works, all right? I'm trying to make out the issue that James was needed. Even Peter was needed. Peter said, add to your faith virtue. Saw too many people justified by faith, sleeping around. You see this in Christianity today. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Last week, you engaged your sister Angela. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This week, you engaged your sister Priscilla. I am the righteousness. I'm not telling you what you did with them. I'm just the only one that can say openly. Very soon, your righteousness will soon take you to heaven. Prematurely, if you know what I'm talking about. You just be 31. Just be righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Boom, your head will just explode. Say, what happened? He's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But he did not add to his faith virtue. He didn't add to his faith some crucial things of life. That was why Peter had to come also and say, we know Paul had taught these things, but brethren, add to your faith virtue. Are you getting what I'm saying? What's the point I'm making? Our solution is in hearing and hearing the right things. What we see outwardly, including what we do, is a sign of what we heard. If we are doing wrong, we heard wrongly. What we thought we heard, we didn't hear properly. If they say, love your wife as Christ loved the church, you went home and you hated your wife as the devil hates the church, you didn't hear well. Go back to that service. Go and listen to the message again. Play it to yourself again. Beg one of your friends to preach to you. Have you noticed that when people tell you things, they're energized to do what is right? I told you once I wanted to make a decision. I knew what was right to do. But, you know, Jesus said, David said, he's mindful that we are but flesh. You know, go here, ministry. Go here. Work. You know, credible, you know what I mean? Legitimate work. Professional work. And pepper go drop. Who does not need pepper? You know what they call pepper? I looked at it. This ministry where you won't go do so. Anything will drop. Sometimes this ministry, you know what they drop. Men of God, you know now. That's how some preachers start charging. No, this was something was dropped. In my mind, I knew the ministry one was the issue. But this other one, man, pepper go drop. CV go improve, you know, CV. I need the right thing to do, but the flesh did not agree to do it. So this preaching will go do them another day. Don't worry. So what did I do? I took my phone and called my friend, who many of you here know. Most people here have seen it before, Pastor Courage. I called him. I said, man of God, I said, these are the situations in my life currently. This one, CV go improve, pepper go drop. Well, in case somebody listens to this from Australia, pepper is money. Somebody may be listening to you from Australia. You say, why is pepper raining in that place? Pepper is not raining, no. We mean money will come. So I told my friend, I said, look at the matter. I said, look at this other one, open door for ministry. After we talk, he said, you see what is important in life, you know, calling, he talked. I said, what do you say now? He said, I think you should go for the ministry one. I said, thank you. I knew that was what you would say. And that was why I called you. Because I knew it was the right thing to do. Do you understand my point? Except that the flesh not greed do am. So the Bible says angels strengthened him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I did was to call an angel. So angel, please strengthen me, strengthen me. So the angel strengthened me, and I went and obeyed the will of God. Are you getting my point? Oh, by the way, the pepper now dropped. Let me just add that one to it. Just for you, just so that you will understand what really happened at the end of the day. So God just said, all right, he finally went that way. Okay, give him that pepper. Oh, Australian, sorry. Give him that money. That the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what did I say by that? Words. What did I say?
Words.
Yes, words. When we hear the right things, our lives move in the right direction. So, we read all of this to, well, since our last day of the year, I want to bring forth the blessings of God from the scriptures again upon everyone that has been paying attention to his word. That's what I'm trying to say. You've been paying attention to that word, and it is working in your life. Whether you realize it or not, it is working in your life. And now listen to this. Everybody, please rise to your feet quickly. All right, now what I want to do is to declare. Now remember all of this, we said there is a foundation of following God fully. We follow God fully, not by trying, but by hearing him completely. When we hear him fully, we are able to obey him. And when we have been paying attention, we know that that word is working in us and is working out his obedience. Now, so Moses said that, now it shall be, if you listen attentively to the Lord your God, and as a consequence, you are careful to do his commandments, which I command you today. He said, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And I'm saying to you, standing in front of me, listening to this, who have been paying attention to the word of God, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth.
Amen.
He said, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Now listen to this. He said, blessed you will be in the city.
Amen.
I say to you, blessed you will be in the country.
Amen.
Blessed shall be the offspring of your body. And blessed shall be the produce of your ground.
Amen.
Blessed shall be the increase of your business.
Amen.
He said, blessed shall be the offspring of your beasts.
Amen.
Beasts here refers to your investments, things that are working for you. He said, blessed shall be the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. That is, whatever you put your hands to do, it will prosper in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, blessed shall your basket, shall be your basket and your kneading bowl.
Amen.
I'm praying for you. I'm not just reading the scripture, I'm declaring the word of God upon you.
Amen.
Blessed shall be your basket.
Amen.
Blessed shall be your kneading bowl.
Amen.
Blessed shall you be when you come in.
Amen.
And blessed shall you be when you go out.
Amen.
When you come in, you will rest in peace.
Amen.
Your house will be a house of peace.
Amen.
The peace of God will dwell therein in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, blessed shall you be when you go out.
Amen.
That means when you go out, all the troubles of this world, they will not be able to overcome you.
Amen.
You will be protected on every side.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil shall befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling.
Amen.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so will the Lord surround you at all times in the name of Jesus. Now, verse 7 says, the Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you.
Amen.
They will come up against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways.
Amen.
Seven in the scriptures is said to be the number of perfection, which means they will flee in every way available.
Amen.
All your problems will disappear in every way available.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All your troubles that come against you will flee before your very eyes. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Said the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your bands.
Amen.
And in all that you put your hand to do.
Amen.
He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you.
Amen.
He will bless you in the career that he set you inside.
Amen.
He will bless you in the business that he gives you to start.
Amen.
He will bless you in everything that you put your hands to do.
Amen.
He will bless you in your marriage.
Amen.
He will bless you in your academics.
Amen.
He will bless you in your civil service.
Amen.
He will bless you in your private business.
Amen.
He will bless you in your investments.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself.
Amen.
as he swore to you. Now listen to this. That is, this world, this wicked world, people who are denying God, they will not be able to sway you into their fold.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will keep you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. He says, so all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And they will be afraid of you.
Amen.
They will respect your God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now listen to this. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity. Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord will make you abound in prosperity.
Amen.
In the offspring of your body.
Amen.
And in the offspring of your beasts.
Amen.
And in the produce of your ground.
Amen.
In the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens.
Amen.
Let me say it again. The Bible says he keeps sound wisdom for the upright.
Amen.
God stores things in heaven. The internet was not the creation of man. It was not. No business idea was created by mankind. What happened was that at a point in time, God gave the idea, the technology to somebody. I like reading the essay written by Charles Townes, who won the Nobel Prize for Physics, shared it with somebody in 1965, thereabout, or 63 or 64, one of those, sometime in the 60s. And Charles Townes said, a prophet will say he saw a revelation. He said, this is the closest a scientist gets to it, the way by which I understood the Mesa and the Lisa phenomenon. He said, that is the prophetic equivalent of revelation. The man doesn't understand Christianity the way you understand. Though he was brought up a Baptist, he doesn't understand the Christianity the way you and I understand it. But the man says that this realm of the spirit is real. And that physics is able to understand physical, that is, that science can understand how things are. Say they can never understand why. That only through religion and faith can you understand why things are. I was reading somebody else a few days ago. He said, science puts things, takes things apart to see how they are. He said, but religion, faith, puts things together to see why they are. That they're giving purpose to everything. I like the essay of Charles Townes because it helps you to understand that indeed God stores things in the heavens and he gives them to mankind at different times. Many people you know that God allowed to popularize some things, he did not bring them into the earth through them. If I ask most of you now who started the internet, 90% of people here don't know the name. But there's a man. But who gave him the idea, he too may not know. Warren Buffett is often known the richest man in the world. But everything he does, he learned from his teacher. He obeys the words of that man to the letter. That's how he became the richest man in the world. So where things began from, you don't know. And I'm saying to you, nobody can birth anything on this earth that does not understand spiritual things. It's not possible. Many people that carry them, they are not the ones that birthed them. Things that human beings birth, sometimes they are not interested in the glory. They birth the thing and they go on. There's one man I heard of, I've forgotten his name now. He has the number of Nobel Prize winners in science that were his students are many, but he never won a prize. They will carry out what he says and they win a Nobel Prize. Those who birth things must be connected to the realm of the spirit. I'm bringing an issue for you here. That is, God has storehouse in the heavens. He has business ideas in there. He has technological ideas in there. There are things that he has kept in there. And you know what the Bible is saying concerning you right now? He said, the Lord, I'm praying for you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse.
Amen.
The Lord will open for you his storehouse, the heavens.
Amen.
He will bring for you the kind of ideas that will lift you up.
Amen.
He will take you out of the realm of poverty into the realm of abundance.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, the Lord will give you rain for your land in its season. And bless all the work of your hand.
Amen.
Let me say something to you clearly. You can try. And that's how life is. You can try. That's all you can do. But what really makes a man, makes a woman succeed in life is always beyond that person.
Amen.
That's what the Bible calls rain. No human being knows how to make rain. You can sow your seed, then you pray that rain will come. Do you understand my point? That's what the Bible is talking about. You can have business ideas. One of my friends the other day started a company. They produce good products. I said, what is the next level now? He said, we need marketers. He never got marketers. The thing did not move. That's how it is. So when the Bible talks about rain, it's practical. It's practical. I read this man's book, though he doesn't understand everything he's saying. And the Bible says that he himself does not know how. It is like that. Paul Getty. J.P. Getty was the richest man in the world at that time. And then he talked about the time that all the other people conspired against him to kill his business. He was drilling crude. It was pumping out of the ground at an alarming rate, but they conspired not to buy. Now listen to this. Drilling costs money. Maintaining staff costs money. He only had a limited capacity for storage. He was desperate. And listen, the only reason why he made it was, I think, the head of, was it Shell or one of these other companies that time came to the U.S. and he went to meet the man and explain his dilemma. If that man had said, sorry, I can't help you, you would never have heard of J.P. Getty till today. But that man just did something. He just called his people and gave them instructions, buy this man's oil. The moment he said buy, he had broken the cartel that was arrayed against him. So all of them broke their arrangement and began to buy. And that was how he became the richest man in the world. That is, except God pours rain upon you, your effort is nothing. The brightest minds, you never heard of them. Two young men sued Mark Zuckerberg the other day that Facebook was their idea. They said they were the one that came up with the idea of Facebook. But you didn't run with it. He paid them off with $50 million. Okay, let's stop quarreling. Give me $50 million. I mean, go and watch the movie. I've not seen the movie, but I saw the two of them. I think they are twins or brothers. They were interviewed on TV. They were so sure Facebook was the idea that Zuckerberg stole it from them. Me, don't worry, it didn't impress me. Because if you know where this, like, people cross-fertilize ideas a lot. People sit down and discuss, it didn't impress me. I don't care. And even if he didn't steal it from you, you probably would never have produced it. One Chinese man would have done his own and run you out of the business. So forget that thing. You understand my point? Uh-huh. I'm not explaining the principle of rain. No matter the ideas you have in life, if you don't have rain upon what you are doing, it won't go anywhere. Most people who become very successful in life, go and check it, they can tell you the stories of how God poured rain upon what they were doing. Rain. So you understand what rain is. That is why I'm declaring to you again from the scriptures. God, from his storehouse again in heavens, will give you rain upon your own land.
Amen.
He will give you that rain in his season.
Amen.
He will bless the work of your hand.
Amen.
And you'll be so blessed that you will lend to many nations.
Amen.
But you shall not borrow.
Amen.
Christians misunderstand this sometimes. They think that God says there's a commandment, never borrow. Even Jesus borrowed. When he collected Peter's boot, what was that? When they say, go there, there's one cult tied there. Tell them the master has need of it. What was that? But he returned it. He paid back. So there's no outright commandment saying you must never borrow. You must never steal. Anyway, some people borrow what they know they can't pay back. That is stealing. I've seen them. Come and borrow what he can't pay back. Doesn't have anything. Doesn't have money. Go and borrow a Mercedes-Benz. Not an old one or a new one. You jam, go and tell the owner, I'm sorry. You should respect yourself. You understand my point? Not borrow that kind of thing. Go and borrow a keke napep. So that if he jams, you tell the guy, give me time, I'll pay. You go and borrow a car that, if you work at this current rate for 750 years, you won't solve the problem you caused with the engine. The borrowing here, all right, was not talking about I can't borrow from somebody. He was saying you will so prosper, you will have no need to borrow. That's what he's talking about. That you will so prosper, you will have no need to borrow.
Amen.
So hear the word of God. God will cause his good storehouse in heavens to open to you, and he will give you rain in your own season.
Amen.
He will bless the work of your hand.
Amen.
So much that you will lend to nations, but you shall not borrow.
Amen.
The Lord will make you the head and not the tail.
Amen.
You will only be above and you will not be beneath.
Amen.
You will only be above, you will not be beneath.
Amen.
He now added one thing to it. Just continue to listen. Tell your neighbor, continue to listen.
Continue to listen.
Continue to listen.
Continue to listen.
Tell the person, you can never stop listening. As long as the word is entering into you, your progress will continue to manifest.
Amen.
It will never happen to you at a time, say, you have prospered so much, I don't have time to go and hear the word of God. May you not experience that kind of prosperity.
Amen.
You don't need it.
Amen.
Because Moses ended that blessing. As long as you listen to the commandment of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully. And I've explained to us here already that it is not the effort, it is the attention to listening. The observation to do is a sign that we listen attentively. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. And I say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, thank you for this season of refreshing that you have taught me the word of prayer. Thank you for helping me understand the power in your words. Thank you for helping me understand how to pray effectively. Thank you, Lord, for removing the fear of enemies from me. Thank you, Lord, for making me understand that I am above alone, I am not beneath. Thank you, Lord, for helping me realize that I am not disadvantaged in any form, that the resources of God are available to me. He said, the poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. Which means all the resources of God are available to every one of them. Say, Lord, thank you because I realize that I'm not disadvantaged. Yes, success is my portion. Victory is my portion. Righteousness is my portion. Walking in holiness is my portion. I am a good Christian according to the entrance of the word of God. I am a good Christian. I reflect the character of God. I add to my faith virtue. 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 Yes, I express the virtue of God. Thank you, Lord, because I realize it's by grace. It's not by my effort. I give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.